I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we go. One take wonders.
One take. Bridget and I were just talking about how we wanted to do this in one take, as if we stop and record the podcast multiple times every week.
Brooke just does excellent cutting work most weeks.
Editless when we go.
Editless wonders.
Yeah. So if we say something about you, sorry.
You're going to hear it.
You're going to hear it. Usually I cut shit about you.
You. With a capital Y.
But who are
you? We're doing it in one take because we are recording this on Thursday night. As you may have noticed, and if you do not follow us on social media, first of all, fuck you. Second of all, we are now coming out on Fridays, which is exciting because Fridays,
TGIF.
It's already Thursday.
Thank God it's
night.
Fuck day. So,
my favorite day of the week.
And from this episode tonight.
So we, way to bring it around. Bring it around town. There's just no way to say certain things without.
Last Saturday night, I last Saturday I taught three classes, and then I was going to meet people for dinner and a show, because mm-hmm. that's my life.
Uh-huh.
And I put my pants on, and the zipper just like flicked open.
Yes.
So I had to buy a pair of leggings, which I was really pissed about, because I was like, I've been so good about like packing clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could think of was the day I ripped my pants. Which I didn't. I didn't rip my pants.
No, your zipper.
My zipper just died. It Harry carried itself.
Exactly. Harry carry.
Harry carry.
Do you guys know what Harry Carey is? I only know of it because
the
I went to
singer.
School. Well, yeah, but also because I went to school in Chicago, and that's what I think of every time. Is that restaurant that's on?
Oh well, here. Yeah, he's the Cubs guy, mm-hmm. but also Harry carrying yourself is with the I think right. it's like a knife, right? And you're just like upside.
Yes.
You like basically like cut a square out of your tummy.
Mmm, delicious.
That's how I want to go.
That's how I want to give birth.
Whoa!
Just cut a square in my tummy.
No, that would kill the baby. That's how Catelyn Stark went. Spoilers.
Oh, God. Have you seen the stuff coming out about the new season?
No.
Including, what's her name? Gwendolyn, who plays Badass Lady Knight.
Oh, yeah. Brienne of Tarth.
Brienne of Tarth. Direct quote, everyone's going to need therapy after this season.
No, I can't. I'm not emotionally prepared for that. I did just watch all of season 2 of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
I'm really excited to watch it. I've been saving it until I'm done. Wait, talk about that, because then I have a show I've been meaning to talk about that I want to say a couple of things. Tell me about Mrs. Maisel.
It just is like so nice to have a show that was made just for me.
Yep.
Like
pretty much.
A small, talkative Jew.
Mm-hmm.
With a lot of weird
spunk and fire,
like the Paladinos are who I am, who I am,
mm-hmm.
because of the Paladinos, mm-hmm. because of Gilmore Girls, like the reason why I talk 100 miles a minute, and
yep,
and I'm too sarcastic and crass for any man.
That's it. That's the root of it all.
That's the root of it all.
I don't even remember if I read this or heard someone saying it or where it came from, but in the last 48 hours, the phrase. Oh, I do remember. Nope. I'm going to be wrong about that, so I don't want to say it.
What a journey.
Yep. So sorry, everyone. That's what it's like to be in my
One
head
take.
At all times. Basically, the quote is, when men tell me I'm intimidating, I say, no, you're intimidated by me. because there is a difference. And I think I love reshaping a narrative.
Yes, I love to flip a narrative. As you know, on Splat the Podcast, we love a narrative.
We love to flip narratives.
We love to, oh no.
Anything else? Shrek. We love Shrek.
And reverse it. Shrek. What's that?
Put it down. Flip it. Reverse it. Yep.
We love to skip it, bop it, squeeze it, twist it. All the things we like to do to the narrative.
God, I was so good at bop it.
Oh, I was a fucking killer at bop it.
If our kid selves had battled, I know you would have won, but I just like to think about it.
Wow, you don't know that. You're competitive sometimes.
It's true. It depends on what it is. I think the difference is I'm more quietly competitive.
Well, that's funny. Did you say you're more quietly?
Yeah, competitive.
Oh, yeah. I was like, and I'm more quietly grumpy, which is the opposite.
Right.
We were talking today because everybody.
Brooke is.
Grumpy.
She is, and I feel it so hard. And she was apologizing to me, and I was like, just hold up real fast and think about all the times you have handled me at my grumpiest.
And she has to indulge me talking about it, and I just like let her like let steam. And
yeah,
I,
you let me stew.
Bridget, like I see steam like coming off her head, and I'm just like, all right, we're just gonna let that cool off.
And generally by the end of the night, I'm like, it's fine. It's just that this.
And I'm like, mm-hmm. And with me, I'm just like, bleh.
But I want it. I listened to all of
Lord's melodrama again today.
It's the best.
Just like murky and gray outside, and I have not spent enough time by myself.
For so long.
This is why I'm a kitten and not a dog.
Mm-hmm. You need to go off into that.
I need to be alone.
Yeah. Alone space.
But I love all my friends, and I've had a great 2.5 weeks.
Yeah. Can you give me a real fast rundown of the highlights? I just realized my mic had dropped. I'm so sorry, everyone. You're going to have to deal with that.
mic dropped. Yeah, sure. Since you last heard from me, I saw... Celia Keen and Bolger in To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh my gosh, I did not realize that was part of the experience.
Yeah.
Wow, transcendent.
I'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Truly just like, I can't. My friend Chris was here from LA.
Oh yeah,
I was wondering
if he was here. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so we saw the prom on Saturday, and then Sunday Bridget came over and we played Harry Potter Hogwarts Battle.
We got through 1, 2, 3, and 4.
We got through 1, right? Because we didn't play 5.
We didn't play 5.
Right, because 5 is where it changes.
I'm excited.
And then...
It was pretty transformative, to be honest.
It's amazing. Like, it's an amazing game.
It's really, really
smartly
made.
And you start... It's so brilliant. And, like, you start it... I remember because Ari and I played it once, and he was like, I get it. Yeah. Whatever. Like, game 1, game 3 happens, and I'm like...
You did? You,
like, start 2.
Yeah.
Anyway. And then Monday night, I went to... I literally forgot again what I did on Monday night.
You went... You taught, and then you went to hang out with people.
Oh! I played Mario Party with Dylan, and I realized that the Toad impression I do is when you go to a Mario Party 2, if you go to not get a star and you don't have enough coins, Toad goes, "Whoa!"
and that's what I do. I'm honestly a little sad you moved the mic away for that, because the full raw power of it is just exquisite.
Whoa! I just did that. Sorry, everybody. Hold your ears.
I made it happen.
And then he also goes, "Yahoo!"
Yeah, that's pretty spot on.
It's so fun. And then Tuesday night, I went to the Mumford & Sons concert with Kyle. And it was also Maggie Rogers who opened for them. And I just love her.
Oh, no way. What a beautiful,
oh my God,
beautiful night.
She's unreal. They're unreal live, all of them. And then Wednesday, I went to dinner. And now I'm here.
Oh, so many things.
So many things.
Good things.
Fun, good things, but I like really need a break.
Yeah, you gotta recharge the old bats.
Oh, speaking of breaks, my trajectory for this is breaks, Kit Kats, candy bars. So yesterday, Tuesday, I was at Tribeca about to teach, and I went to the bodega, and I was in one of those moods where I was like, I want to buy these 7 things.
Uh-huh.
And they have crunchy bars.
Oh, yeah. I saw your story.
Do you know, have you ever had one?
I have. They're very good.
Okay. We're going to share it before I leave. Before we leave. All right. That's all that. That's a button on Brooke. Bridget.
Oh, beautiful. I just remembered that I didn't talk about the show that was so important for me to talk about.
Oh.
Guys, I've been watching Veronica Mars for the first time, which people have told me for years I should watch. And I knew it. One of the things is it's really hard to watch. I found one place to stream it because I didn't want to buy every episode off of Amazon.
Yeah.
I have bought. I like. treat myself and I'll watch like the last two, like the penultimate and the finale on Amazon Prime. But it's so fucking good.
Yeah.
And the soundtrack is incredible. Cast is stacked. It's also, I realized from a prime period when like I didn't watch TV because it was pre-Netflix and I still didn't really watch TV.
Yeah.
So it's like the youths of all of the actors who I think of in their like current careers. Uh-huh. Like I'd never seen Schmidt from New Girl in anything prior.
Oh yeah, I forgot that he was in it.
So many people are in this. Like it's good. Like just from the last handful of episodes, Mae Whitman's in one. Michael Cera's like in one. Yeah, although it was around Arrested Development time, yeah. So I've seen that, I guess. But and obviously Michael Cera too. But just the cast is stacked. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm very fun, and I'm on season 3, and I'm both like racing through it, but also trying to. I'm literally gonna start it over the minute I'm done with it. But what I want
to
say.
You'd love to do that.
It depends. I've only done it once or twice, but only in recent years. Like you've known all of the ones I've done. What was I going to say? Oh, the crazy thing. So the show happens in 2004. So the bulk of it is a little bit later than Sex in the City. Mm. But across the board, it handles things effortlessly in a way that like Sex in the City
is our
cannot.
Next show going to be Long Distance Veronica Mars?
It might be.
Because
I don't remember
anything about it.
We're going to have to figure out if we can handle Long Distance. But if so, and if y'all would be interested, I would love to do.
We're going
to
handle Long Distance.
We are. I mean, podcast-wise. We just have to figure some shit out is all. And
Dalton
we're going
said,
to.
Dalton said it's going to be fine.
No, and I believe it. Okay, one other thing. I was lurking on Reddit the other day on an unrelated to anything thread, and I found on... there people suddenly were talking about Sex in the City, and I thought their thoughts on it were really funny. So it was just interesting to read.
Just really
so
quick.
So someone, yep, yeah, please.
Hi, Bridget.
Hi, Brooke.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Splat.
I did that backwards. The podcast.
For me, Brooke.
And me, Bridget.
Talk about Sex in the City. 10 years younger.
And 20 years later.
Just so you know where you are and what you're doing. And now we're going to talk about
and
Sex in the City.
And now we are set. And so it comes up and like someone mentions it in passing and someone replies, I'm watching it all the way through for the first time as well. And I agree. Some of the things in it are problematic. And then they give the example, like SJP's character hating gold jewelry unless it's her ghetto gold collection, which isn't refined enough for daily wear. .. Seriously, what the fuck? But other than some of those pitfalls, which are given when all of the main characters are white, it's still fun. And then someone was like, can you explain? I only wear gold jewelry. I feel like I'm missing something. Unrelated. Someone said, well, I'm hate watching it / guilty pleasure watching it. And as another commenter said, it's very white. Most of the politics are bad. That being said, I'm having fun watching it. The writing is really funny on occasion. And if nothing else, the fashion is hilarious, which I agree. Someone said, does the show hold up today? I think these might be backwards. Sorry. Someone was asking if the show held up today. Some of it didn't hold up well for me. It is super white. I remembered Samantha being empowered. Oh, this is the best comment. I remembered Samantha being empowered, but in the first season, at least, she was actually desperate, and I was pretty sad for the character.
Yes.
It didn't continue past a few seasons. It just seems it's not for me anymore. And then someone replied, I think that at the time, the show was considered pretty radical for having all female leads who were sexually liberated, gasp, but it did not age well. This especially because they're all rich and white and seem to never work.
I mean, they work.
They do. It's
except
it's a
for
little,
Carrie.
That reply is a little reductionist, I think, in black and white. But just to read random people on the internet's view of the show.
You should just
now
comment
is,
with our podcast.
I know. Just hello, everyone. I think it's interesting to read. And I think that the Samantha, how Samantha has aged in particular is
bad. Yeah. She comes off as desperate and sad.
Yeah.
Sorry, bitch.
Yeah. Because when she has her moments, but they are literally that. They're moments.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, those are my tidbits to share with everyone.
Amazing. This episode is fine.
It is. It's, I mean, it just makes me sad because I'm like, it's just already going downhill.
This is why he's a child. And that's why I love him.
I know.
I love him. We're talking about Jack Berger.
But Jack Berger, everyone.
And I was like,
sorry.
I was literally, when I was watching it, I was like, he's such an incommunicative child. And I was like, fuck. I love an uncommunicative child.
Oh, God. It's just upsetting because it's like you can just see that he's not going to be able to. Anyway, we should not talk about this vaguely.
But before we learn about that, we get the second episode in a row where there's like a soft early 2000s. It is 2003, but like the guitar strum love intro.
Like a... Yes. Nailed it.
Thank you.
It is called Lights, Camera, Relationship.
Gag me with a spoon.
In every relationship, Carrie says, there comes a time when you take that next important step.
What do you think it is?
I was literally like, this is my thought process. Well, it would make sense if she took him to meet her parents, but given that we've never heard anything about Carrie's parents on this show, I can't imagine that's what's going to happen. And then I found out because the show kept happening.
Can you guess what it is? I'm going to Dora the Explorer this. Can you guess what it is? Good guess. It's shopping.
He's
Prada. Taking her to Prada.
Well, yeah. She says, don't worry. They'll love you. I just want to make the right. And he says, I just want to make the right impression.
They'll love you because I love you. So they are teasing us with like maybe it's a parents thing.
For some couples, that step is meeting the parents. For me, it's meeting the Prada.
And Prada's store, I'm assuming on Fifth Avenue.
Yep. Gotta be somewhere around there. He says, ladies, as they walk by a bunch of mannequins. It's
He's
cute.
Very charming.
He says, so how often do you shop there?
And the...
Here, excuse me. The...
Emilio? Citing his name as Emilio. Tony. Close enough.
He says, Carrie! And Jack's like, okay, you come here a lot.
And he gives him a kiss, and we find out that, like...
She introduces it, Burger. Burger gets a kiss on each cheek and makes a cute quip about it.
Oh, think it's a cute quip? I was like...
Well, it's what he thinks is a cute quip.
Fair.
It's not cute. He basically says, oh, I get the double.
Okay, I'm okay with that. It's like, we get it.
It's just a European kiss on the cheek. No one's ever done that to you.
And so.
We find out that this man who runs, is the manager of whatever the store is, has just broken up with his girlfriend, Rebecca. Or his girlfriend broke up with him.
Yeah.
And he's. Because Carrie asks, because they know everything about each other's lives.
And she asks if that's later. And he asks if she knows any single women. But before that, we get Samantha and...
Oh, I skipped ahead a wee bit.
Yeah.
Because we have to first go and see what's up with Samantha.
And she's fucking Jerry. Still shook that his name is Jerry.
I see.
Because
so it gets,
I know
it's
him.
Explained in this a little bit.
And so he's like, I can't do Friday night. And she's like, we always fuck on Friday. It's TGIF. Thank God it's fuck day.
Yep.
And I'm like, God, Jesus. Also, like, poor God, Jerry Jesus. Can't wear a shirt.
Jesus, Joseph,
and she's
Mary.
Like, I'm in a play. He's like, I'm in a play on
Friday. A kick-ass play.
I start previews for my play. And she's like, oh.
A kick-ass play. It's in Brooklyn. I don't do borough.
And honestly, I understand that.
Here you are in Brooklyn.
I know. She says from Brooklyn. I don't go to Queens.
Fair. Or Astoria.
Same thing.
I know. I just, Astoria in particular, I feel like holds special resonance of places you will not go.
Yeah.
You know?
Don't try to fucking get me to go to Astoria.
He's basically like, listen, fine. If you come to this show, I will make sure that you come to my
blah,
bedroom.
Blah, blah, blah. So Carrie's trying on Prada, Burger's indulging in free champagne.
Because someone came over to offer him drinks and he was like, there's champagne here. And now he's a little drunk.
And I was like, yeah. So Tony comes over and shows Burger a really, really nice shirt. And it's probably like upwards of $1,000-something.
Carrie's like. It's fabulous.
Burger's like, I don't say fabulous, but if I did, this would be fabulous.
Right.
We're like, cool, cool, cool. And so they're like, you have to get this shirt. It's fabulous. And he's like, no.
He also says something about, does it also open into a small studio apartment?
Yeah. And Carrie's like, I have to take it slow. It's our first shopping trip together. And so then we find out Claudia and Tony broke up. And we cut, and he asks if she knows any single women. Cut to Charlotte. Who's like, is he Jewish? And we're like,
And to her credit,
this is a very funny conversation where they're all sort of like, Charlotte's like, you didn't think I was just going to give up all this work I put in to be Jewish just because Harry and I broke up, and everyone is kind of like, we kind of thought you did.
Which I kind of like, I don't know, to her credit, she committed, and so she committed, you know?
Yeah.
But it is funny. I mean, if I were one of the other three.
And she's like, I'm not ready to think about this, Harry. Blah,
I can't. I don't want to date anyone, Harry. I loved him so much.
And Miranda projecting is like, if she's not ready to move on, she's not ready to move on. There's nothing wrong with being ready to move on.
Fine.
I'm such a goddamn Miranda. And,
yep. Charlotte's like, okay, what even is my story? I got married, and then I got divorced, and then I got together with my divorce lawyer.
And we were going to get married, and now we, and then I converted to Judaism
for him, and then I blew it. Which is true. And then they're all kind of like, well, that's depressing.
And Carrie's like, well, let's go drink about it on Friday. And Samantha goes, shit, motherfucker, fuck shit. And Miranda goes, there's a shit, motherfucker, fuck shit.
Situation?
I was like, I love
Miranda's
that.
Miranda's incredible. And she's basically like, I have to go see this new play in Brooklyn.
And they're like, what's his face is in it? And they're like, oh,
a children's play.
A children's play.
It's pathetic how far a girl will go for a good fuck.
So cut to Miranda on her couch eating Chinese food like the queen that she is.
She hears the door performing her one-woman show. I'm not in love with Steve. She hears him coming, fixes her hair. She's trying to look very chill.
In love with Steve. Not in love with Steve.
Brooks.
Not me.
Yep.
Sorry,
yep.
Everybody.
Nope. Never apologize. So he comes in with the baby, and he's like,
I scammed a cupcake party. From the playground. The chocolate one. I almost got my eye poked out for it.
Yep.
How's my Steve impression?
It's spot on. Just like chills up and down my body.
I am Dave Eigenberg.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Do not do that.
Conspiracy.
Steve, this is so funny. Steve's like, I got to stop eating these cupcakes. I'm getting a gut. And Miranda's like, no, you're not. And he lifts his shirt up and it's like, good, good, good. And it cuts to just a six pack.
Yep.
And Miranda like drooling. And then she invites him to watch the Knicks game with her.
Because he says he's got to go. And she's like a little crazy eyed, but kind of thinks she's pulling
like,
it off.
You?
Why do I pay for ESPN?
You got me this cupcake. And he's like, well, Debbie's got a thing. And so then he falls asleep on her couch and it's very cute. I'm like, I'm going to be fucking Miranda. I can see this narrative playing out for me. But I wouldn't do this.
I said that in the beginning when this was happening too, because I, all of it, all the way through,
where
just
I
emotionally.
Where I creech on him while he's sleeping on the sofa. I don't see that for myself so much.
No, but the rest of it, the idea
but
of
this,
preaching
like,
on him
pining,
while he falls asleep.
I would stare maybe like at an Instagram, 2018 Miranda.
Ugh, girl. She goes back to her room because he like stirs.
I hope she fucking masturbates.
Oh my God. Didn't even think about it, but probably.
She's like, oh, he coughed.
On my couch. So Carrie sees Burger the next day. She's in a cutie dress. And so she bought him the I Never Say Fabulous, Fabulous shirt.
And he's like, Carrie, you can't afford to do this. You can't even afford to buy anything. And she's like, what do you mean? And she whips out a giant check.
It's so big. It's like almost as big as ones that are presented on stage to winners of contests.
It's
Carrie
not
just
that big.
Pulls it out of her bag and it just keeps opening.
It's like the size of an envelope.
Yes, it's a very big check. But and those are also like stuff's printed on. On 8x8, that's how I got my paychecks.
Carrie tells Burger that her book is getting sold in France, and so she has a $25,000 advance. And she's like really excited about this. And like
her, which she should be, but I'm sorry, the lifestyle she lives
is unbelievable. It doesn't make
any
sense.
If she is that this, I mean, it's a huge windfall, obviously, and for a writer, it's just that like she lives a lifestyle that is way more than being thrilled by.
I can't imagine having $25,000.
No, I literally can't fathom it. I would just pay off my loans immediately and save the rest.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I just, like, would love for one day my bank account to say, like, obviously more.
Right. But someday.
Someday.
Someday you'll hit it and then you'll move past it, baby.
Ow!
Erotic thought.
And Burger, like, gets a little tense.
Which, honestly, if someone bought me a probably $700 shirt, I would, too. Like this, when I could, you know, didn't buy it for myself.
I don't know.
That's me and money, though.
But that's more of like a Steve moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the shirt. And it's clear.
It's not.
It's clear.
But the thing is, we don't know that yet.
That's true. But I'm like, he's being weird.
He is being weird. And he's kind of a little turd child in this whole episode. He's definitely being weird. I can empathize with being uncomfortable by a gift like, you know, of that size, regardless. But. I mean, that said, I've also, like, accepted, you know, I can accept them. I just get weird about money stuff. So Carrie and Miranda and Lord Brady are on a walk. And Miranda's like, so Steve slept over the other night.
And Carrie goes, pardon moi. And it's very cute.
We were watching the Knicks game and it got late. And Carrie goes, someone's going to get hurt.
And I'm like, I get it.
Uh-huh.
She's like, I like being around him. It was the most fun I've had in a long time.
Then tell him that. I beg you.
He has a girlfriend. Did you forget?
No. Did you?
No.
Well, he probably already knows how you feel.
No way. I'm acting my ass off. Speaking of acting our asses off, that was Brooke and Bridget portraying Carrie and Miranda on Sex and the City.
Doing my favorite thing, reading words aloud at each other.
Wait. I wanted to say something.
Think. It's in there. And you can say it.
Right. Oh. I was looking at Carrie during this moment. I was like, her hair looks so good and long and straight. And then last night, as I was going to sleep, it was on TV. So I watched like a little bit of I think it was somewhere in season 1 or 3.
Wow.
But I was like, oh, I remember this based on the title, Alone. And I was like, oi. And Carrie just looks like so insufferable. Anyway. We run into Amy Sedaris. Princess Caroline.
That's all I can. It's all I can think now. It's more fun, honestly, because they played similar roles.
I know she's a publicist, and we find out. So in this,
she's basically like the toast of Europe. Congrats!
And she's like, "This is my publisher," and she's like, "Ex-publisher." She's buying gin because she just got fired.
She's like, "You're the only reason I lasted a week." Okay, crucial point. They started letting all of my authors go last week. How's Berger holding up? I think he's a genius. They're idiots.
They dropped the second book option, and Carrie's like.
Which
I'm like, this fucking, like, you tell this girl that you love her, like, tell her when something shitty happens to you. This is, like, not the only time that this has happened with him in the short time that they've been dating.
Right.
Where he, like, when his book came out and it didn't do well.
Yes.
It's like, he doesn't share anything with her. And
he doesn't
like,
want to look weak in front of her or be vulnerable in that way.
But if you say, I feel like that... like saying I love you to someone and not being able to talk about your
that's not
like
really love your, yeah
is it failures as it feels like a strong word but like your misfortunes I guess
yeah
like
just
no.
like the things that are the pretty big things that are happening in your life too you know just like key plot points
like,
of your life
of your
no
career.
Less the hard stuff yeah yeah no I agree
It was this episode as I was watching it, I was like, oh, this is why Berger sometimes puts a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense. I mean, now that I can see it going downhill. And I wonder if at this point, like, when did they make the decision that they weren't going to be, you know, because it seems like a fast turnaround. They went into the end of the last season meeting Berger. They were planning to have her be with him at the end of the series. And I'm curious what the plan was at this point, whether they were going to bring him back. You know, and reconcile after this point, if they had something happened and they were like, we have to go with Big.
There's a lot that happens before that.
Because
I think there are two things coming up that you know nothing about.
I think that's true.
One is Samantha and one is Carrie.
I think I don't know Carrie because I have no idea what happens post-Berger, pre whatever inevitably happens with Big. Samantha, I don't know, except that Jerry's important. We're just calling him
Smith.
Yeah. Well, he's about to be dubbed
Smith Jared. All right.
Smith Jared was a cat, Smith Jared. Okay. So.
Sorry.
That's okay.
No, that's literally what this
podcast is about. Don't apologize.
I'm so sorry for having opinions. Let's keep watching, Mom.
And shoving my big check in his face. So
but
Carrie's
like how,
basically like, Berger, I had no idea.
You know that I'm the first one to fucking call Carrie out on her shit.
Yes.
And I'm sort
but
of
she's
like.
She's putting it all on her. And it's like, you had no idea. You literally had no idea. And the idea that like, if you had known, I mean, sure, you could have been tactful about it, but. There's still nothing wrong with you earning a check. There's still nothing wrong with you being excited about it. There's still nothing wrong with wanting to share that with your partner. Mm-hmm. She probably would have handled it a little differently. But this like taking his – it's she wants to do all of the emotional labor and hasn't even told her about this.
Yeah.
She's like, move over, Brady. I'm getting tired. Because
she wants Miranda to pull her in the stroller. And then in Central Park, we have Mario Cantone, Anthony, sitting with Charlotte. Who's drinking Snapple with a straw.
And Mario is playing this game where he just points at people and is like, not him. Gay. Gay, but he doesn't know it.
Okay. She goes, Harry and I just broke up. And she goes, he goes, Charlotte, you loved Harry. I loved Harry. We all loved Harry.
But it's
been 2 weeks.
Next.
And I'm like, thank you, next.
I was
Mario
was
Mario can't
on
talk
it.
About it. We went through the same thought process.
Yep.
And she goes, he goes, you're on the verge of being a sad gal.
Nobody loves a sad gal. Here's the thing. I'm a little bit like,
I have a hashtag sad gal.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't know. Just the idea that like women have to be
2 weeks not and you thought sad you were gonna to be marry
also
him?
That. But also.
But it's also Charlotte.
Yeah.
I hate to be reductive.
Charlotte. Yeah. No, it
is. Word of the night is reductive.
Reductive. Lost the love of my life.
Mario's like, I never lost it. Because Charlotte's like, you don't understand. And he's like, Paolo. You think
I've never lost the love of my life?
Brazil. I've never gotten over him.
Had an ass like 2 scoops of butter pecan ice cream.
Honestly, same.
And he's like, him, I could see you with him. And Charlotte is just not interested. Charlotte's doing the very like 2003 thing where she's wearing a white t-shirt with like a baby pink.
You mean the spaghetti. 2018 thing?
Well, yeah, with spaghetti straps, a little spaghetti strap thing over it.
Mario looks around and goes, huh, nice day to get laid. Really? Which is a gif I think we've posted before.
Yep.
Samantha is at Jerry's play.
And it does look very.
It's bad.
Bad.
It's just like people.
And it's empty and Samantha is falling asleep.
And then Jerry comes out and
he's full nakey
and
nake.
He takes his overalls off and Samantha's like,
I'm awake now.
She's like, get your cock out. I love theater. Hump me.
It was amazing. I was falling asleep, but then your cock was there and I just. And he's like, what did you think of this part?
My monologue. And she's like, what's I don't care.
She, after your cock was out, I couldn't think about anything else. After you dropped trow, all I could think was, I got to get me some of that.
She looks fucking stunning.
She does. Unreal.
Well, I hope the critics
like it more than you. He is pretty
beautiful.
And I like
when he stands up to her.
Me too. I think the energy works. He's also just like unfazed by her whole thing, you know?
Yeah.
He's like,
maybe it'll be
worried about the critics.
And she's like, nobody's going to come see this play. Like, you don't, it's not being publicized. You have a sad,
pathetic little flyer.
Publicized? That's the word.
Yeah. The most important thing about the play, you, frontal, full, naked. And she's like, who's doing the PR?
He's like, no one. We're getting
this cake. Lady has never dealt with storefront theater.
I know. Send this woman to Chicago.
They don't have money for that kind of thing. We're getting paid like $30.
And she goes, is this really what you want to do with your life? And I took it straight to the heart, Samantha.
Stand in an empty theater talking some harvest bullshit.
Here am I.
And he just take a page out of Jerry's book. I'm going to grab those wrists and keep them together because he says, without a hint of irony and fully confident, yeah. And then he says, I love it. I'm an actor.
God, I'm an actor. An actor.
And she says to her credit, then I'm going to help you.
And he goes, you're going to help me be an actor? And she's like, yes. No.
I'm going to help you be a star is born.
She just goes, yes.
And he's like, I don't need help. All I got to do is work on my craft. All you got to do is work on your abs.
Excuse me. I have to go gag. And she goes, we have to do something about your name. And she's like, I cannot let you be Jared.
Awful.
And she starts like being like, Matt,
and
Ryan,
he says, stop
Scott,
talking. She's like, whatever Toby? You say.
And they fuck. Okay. And so now there's a very tense scene with Carrie and Burger where they're reading in bed. And
she's playing with her hair in a way I've never seen her do before, which is fascinating.
And she's like,
is something wrong? And he says, no, I'm just preoccupied.
And she's like, I know about the book. And he's like, fucking shuts down.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want your fucking friends to know about me or feel bad for me.
God, his stupid eyebrow thing. All that face acting.
He's a child.
Yeah, he doesn't. It's ego. It's all ego driven, unfortunately. And he really can't get over it.
This is why writers shouldn't date writers.
Well, yeah. She did that once before and it ended poorly too in the early seasons.
Yeah, not for like a long
time. He's like, Miranda was with me. She says, Miranda was with me. And he's like, oh. And she says, it's not a big deal. And he's like, it is to me. Which also, what? He just was expecting
it to go away. If it was a big deal to you, why didn't you tell this person that you're presumably in love with?
Also that.
Take 3 shots because I just said presumably.
Presumably. The shirt and the check, I feel awful. I would never.
And he's like, this has nothing to do with it. He's like, I'm proud of you, which is, to his credit, is like,
he
nice.
Says, yeah, don't feel bad about it. You earned it. But it's good just for like, you. I'm proud of you. It's bad timing, obviously, but he has absolutely no capacity for grace here.
None. No, he doesn't even have capacity
for
Carrie. Grace. Grace
like,
isn't
Jesus
even an option.
Christ, it's just a dropped option.
It's a huge deal, Burger. Shut up. Is he sleeping with his meep moop anymore?
He needs therapy.
He needs so much therapy.
She cuddles and she's like, because you're great. And unfortunately, he's the kind of guy who when someone tries to be like, hey, here's what I love about you and you are awesome, like shuts down and is like, don't placate me. And Carrie's now trying to justify to Samantha. She's like, Burger's not failing. The thing is, he's the one who needs to hear and understand that. And that is just not what's happening.
You guys, I couldn't eye roll my eyes bigger if I tried.
Truly.
And so Samantha tells Carrie that she's helping Smith Jared.
She's dubbed him Smith Jared. She's like, isn't it wonderful? With his career, she gets an article on him. The glitterati are migrating to Brooklyn and to see Samantha's him. And
Carrie's like, are they really? And Samantha's like, yes, we're going.
What she says is, yes, you are. Invite everyone fabulous you know and dress up. I've got a whole red carpet thing happening. And she says, why are you doing all this? Which is a fair question, because I was going to say, when she offers it, I'm like, Samantha does not do things for the boys. She just fucks. Like, she also already cares in a different way.
He's 28 and making $30 a week. And this is the...
The poor guy was dying. I could help.
It's the... dichotomy between the man their age Burger, mm-hmm. who like will not receive even a kind word, versus Jared, now Smith Jared. Well, I will now only refer to him mm-hmm. as Smith Jared. Thank God that's taken care of. Is like open to receiving help. Men of this age uh-huh. are different, and so that
I would also say though that there's a fundamental difference between Smith Jared and Burger, in that Smith Jared is confident. He's confident about the hard parts of it. Yes, but
I think that they are painting this. Younger guys aren't threatened by strong women having power. 100%.
Yes. Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely.
And that this like leads us in to the I wonder.
I also think there's something to be said that if there's a younger man who goes after older women anyway, he's like a different kind of confident.
As women's roles evolve as we age, we assume men's do as well. And so she's writing about the new man.
There are
man.
All these articles that exist about the new man, but does this new man really exist?
Perhaps he's just an old man renamed and repackaged by some clever PR woman.
Are the men of today less threatened by a woman's power? Or
are they just acting?
I mean, I don't know. I think that's something that would be interesting to talk to someone who was the age of the characters when this show was out about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I would say that like men, boys our age are like more down for like ladies in power.
Yeah. Actually, I think you're right. Also think there's this like appropriation of being like a woke boy. That there are a lot of guys now who just do because they see that it gets them the kind of attention that they want.
Yeah.
Without practicing it. But yeah, I would agree with you in general. Oh, a story for our listeners. Yeah. Brooke and I went to the Acast holiday party on Thursday, which was wonderful, and we love them very much. But we met a girl there, mm-hmm. a very, very sweet girl named Emily, who just came and sat down with us because she had just moved here 2 weeks ago from Australia.
Yeah. And you know how I feel about it over there.
Australians. She was really sweet.
Super cool.
And
she loves Sex in the City.
Cool. And she loves Sex in the City. And she was telling us all about it and all about her experiences watching it growing up and like her mom's thoughts on it. It's truly, this show has roots in a lot of places. Anyway.
So Steve's making cupcakes. And
Miranda's kitchen.
No, it's his kitchen.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
He has literal butterfingers.
He like opens the door with his wrists. It's cute. And Miranda comes in. She looks really nice.
And he tells her that.
And she says, do I? Hey, Brady. And she sees him making cupcakes and assumes that they're for the kids playground. On the playground. And so she offers to help.
And she starts to help. And he's like, oh, these aren't for the playground.
Because he's basically like, I've never done this before. Does it look like I'm doing the right thing? And they're not for the playground. Whom are they for?
Debbie. And Miranda's like, fun.
Super fun.
And she's like, she didn't want a cake. Steve's like, it's so cute. He's like, she didn't want a cake, but
she didn't say anything about cupcakes.
If I were Miranda, I would be dead on the inside.
I mean, she has literal tears in her eyes, but is playing it really cool. And she's like, how many do we need? And he's like, HAPPY spells it all. Happy birthday, Debbie. 20. And she's like, 20. Great. And she hasn't stopped like bobbing up and down.
20 little Debbie cakes letter, which is a great joke because uh-huh. Little Debbie's their type of cake. And they're ugly as fuck. It's like Hagrid. It's very happy birthday, Harry.
Like, shit, I gotta go to work at 6:30. And he's like, okay, I'll finish those later. And she's like, just go, I'll do it. Which honestly, at that point, you've struggled through the brutal part of doing it with him. You know, I would finish the damn letters too. And then he, oh God, it's awful. Oh my God, my heart breaks in this moment. He's like so grateful that he says thank you. And then he like puts his hands on either side of her face and that like he's going to kiss her. And then he gets up on his tiptoes and kisses her on the forehead.
And he goes, Miranda, you're the best. And as this conversation is happening,
it's unbearable.
A tear fills my eye and my heart slowly drops into my stomach.
Oh, I just feel so bad for her. And I can just imagine myself in her shoes like so clearly. God. And I would do this. I would get roped into doing some shit like this.
I have been.
Yeah, same.
And I probably will be again. Yep. And then Brady.
And then Brady. Miranda just is so sad. So she just takes his phone off the wall. I love this. She rolls her eyes as she takes the phone off the wall to dial. And I just love this like recurring theme of Miranda doing something that she judges herself for and then immediately picks a phone off the wall and calls Gary to tell her about it.
I am a Miranda. Yep. That's a lot of, I think like love. I don't know.
Yep.
We'll get to that when we get to that.
She's basically like, look, I'm not going tonight. And Carrie's like, if you aren't, I'm not. And Miranda's like, well, I'm at Steve's. He had to go to work and I got roped into making cupcakes.
20 cupcakes. For Debbie.
For his girlfriend's birthday.
I love when they don't say her name to each other.
Yeah. And she says, why would he ask you to do that? Which is a fair question. And Miranda's like, no, he didn't. It's my own fault. I thought they were for the playground. I got roped in. It was too late to say no. What did I think would happen?
He would see how great my cupcakes are and then be back in love with me?
Damn it, I fucked up Debbie's bee. And which one?
Carrie's like, put down the icing.
And she says, I have to finish. Debbie cannot have your tears. If I don't finish, Steve will know something's up. And this is the thing she's like breaking over. Miranda, you can't make those cupcakes.
Move away from the icing.
What'll I tell Steve? Blame the baby. That's what they're there for.
Honestly?
True.
Great advice.
She's like, I put it down.
She's going to take the baby. She's going to go. Good girl.
Door buzzer.
All right.
Oh, God, that's Burger in a Cabin. I'm not dressed yet. Listen to me. You get out of there. You go home and I'll call you later, okay? Okay, I love you. Bye-bye.
Ugh. What is she going to do?
What is she going to do?
Carrie runs out. She's wearing her Prada.
She has a purse that has fringes longer than her body.
And
it's really kind of crazy.
And it's Burger on his motorcycle.
And she's like,
excuse me, that's not a cab, sir.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I was not paying attention.
And he's like, I thought it'd be cool. And she's like, I'm in a Prada. And he's like, it'll be fine. Come on.
She's like, not to be a total girl about it, but they can't really have the helmet. I really can't have the helmet hair when there's a red carpet situation. Also, what is she going to do with those tassels? That's how they're going to die. They're going to get caught in the wheels. He's like, I really want to take the bike tonight.
I'm just like, aren't you probably going to drink at this thing?
Yeah. And also, like, why do you really want to take the wheels? It's because you want to roll up to this thing in front of everyone on your motorcycle feeling like a big boy.
You're feeling like you're emasculated. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. What's more masculine than a motorcycle
with your girl on the back?
And I'm like, that bitch
when
probably
your man
isn't wearing
is
underwear.
Down and out, you have to get up and on. And I don't really like that. I do love supporting your partner, but Burger's being a shit. Also, look at this street.
They're
so
in
glad
Dumbo.
So glad it's been the filming location
also,
for a long
like,
time.
Excuse me, they're in Brooklyn. The show is in. Right. I guess Dumbo wasn't Dumbo yet.
No,
probably
it wasn't.
In 2003. But I'm like, you are what?
But
two,
it was start. It was almost
one,
though.
One stop from Manhattan.
I mean, you can see the storefront still. Like that's a nice storefront. And my sisters, when they moved to the city, it was only a few years after that, and they worked in Dumbo. So, like, it was starting to happen. But, yeah, this is not.
Oh,
you literally
I don't go to Brooklyn.
Crossed the bridge and jumped down from the side of it. So they pull up.
Oh, my God. It's so fast.
He
He's
really
going
comes
so fast.
Zipping in. And there are people, of course, all in the middle of the street. He really just wants to make a deal out of it.
Well, he doesn't. I don't think he wants to make a deal out of it because it's not like he pulls up in front of them. He, like, parks in an alley. She's, yeah.
Well, he does zoom through the lot in front of everybody. But, yeah, you're right.
Carrie
gets off. She hated it. She was like, I told you not to go so fast. And he's like, that wasn't fast. It just felt fast because you're on the bike. She says bullshit and pushes him, which I think is fair because I think she was scared.
She was scared. Like, I bet it was scary.
Yeah. And she was like, did you not feel how hard I was gripping you? And he's like, I just thought you were excited. She says, look, I am not going to die on a bridge so that you can feel like some big man on a bike.
And he's like, what the fuck does that mean?
You know exactly what it means. And I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry I made that money. Which,
okay. All right, Carrie.
Yeah.
we already established that, like, I don't think that that's...
It's not really about the check at this point.
And it's not about you. He already told you that he was okay with that. This is clearly about him and his issues and not about you.
She was so on the money and valid. But it's just like not quite the right thing to say to him in that moment. Like, you literally already talked about that specific thing. And that was the only thing he's handled like a grown-up this whole time. So, like, weird thing to say to him. I worked really hard for it and I never thought you would be the type of guy that would have a problem with that.
And he...
But then he leans into it. He's like, well, neither did I. He's like, this is kind of like interesting writing content. And maybe too, he's had some moments to think about it and he does have a problem with it.
And like maybe
and then he kicks the wall.
And we start to see the dark side of Berger.
That's just never a good sign.
The rare side.
Someone violence that angry.
My ex-boyfriend in college shattered his phone.
Jesus.
He was like really going through it at one point.
Yep.
And I like came over and he had and I like hadn't heard from him and I like went over and he had like just like completely like thrown his phone like down the stairs.
Wow.
At H&G and I was just like, "Oh my God."
That's really intense.
Yeah.
That's really really intense.
Yeah. Oof. And I think that's when he was still in college. That was his senior year. That was way before we even like had real problems. Well, actually, we almost broke. Whatever.
Yeah.
The details of that don't matter right now.
I like sharing them. She says, "Are you gonna look at me?"
And he is sort of like fuming and pacing.
She's also wearing a horseshoe brooch.
And he's like, "I didn't think I was going so fast." I'm like, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'll never do it again." She's like, "I'm never getting on that bike ever again."
And he says, "Look, I don't want to be this guy. I really don't." Also, just like a little too late. Like the fact that you had to lash out at her and then kick a wall before you could say to her that you were sorry because you were going fast on the bike.
And he's like, "I'll do whatever it takes to not be this guy."
That's like actually really some shit for her to be like, "Hey, I was scared you were going fast." And for him to be like, "No, I wasn't. You don't know what you're feeling." That's
well, and this behavior is also fucking...
And then to turn around and be like, "I'm the worst. I'm so sorry. Like, I'll never do it again.
I'll do anything. I'll do anything." It's, and he's like, now he's like sort of making her feel like she...
He's like, "I think you're magnificent." And it's just, I do.
It's just like too much. It's like it's so all over the place that it makes me not trust him. And she's
well,
like...
And it's also like, this makes sense why you told her you loved her. Because
but she you're loved, kind but of erratic.
She really does and did and does love him.
And they hug and that's like... Oh, I do. Like, it seems like it's going to be okay.
And he, like, nuzzles into her.
Kisses her on the neck.
It's just, like, I don't know. Leaves a bad taste in my mouth. That's why you said earlier. Man.
Yeah. And she's, like, makes a joke about the helmet. And
they both say, "Come on. Let's get this over with." And then he takes off his motorcycle jacket. And he's wearing the shirt. What a big man.
Right. Which is like,
and it does look
which
nice
I think
him.
Was going to be a nice moment for them.
Right.
And they're like, but they're walking in like in solidarity holding hands. This purse is just.
Also, she does not look like she had a helmet on at all.
No, of course. And people are like calling out for Carrie because Carrie's like a B-list celebrity.
And he's like, "They know you." Which is also like, how do these people not know anything about each other? Sorry.
Yeah.
Because really, how did they not? She doesn't know anything about how his book's doing. He doesn't know that she's a famous columnist, even though he does know that.
Yeah, and the paparazzi are like...
And she says, "Can
we get one alone? Can we get one alone?" And she's like, "No, no, no." And then she tries to do this. She's like, "It's Jack Berger."
Well, they say, "Who's with you?" And she says, "Jack Berger. He's a writer." And Jack's face just falls. And then
he walks away.
He, like, tugs off of her like a child, which is also, like, cool. Now there are a lot of photos of that whole thing.
And she's like, "They just do that." And he's like, "This isn't my night." And then I think he's going
to
leave.
"Look, I'm really not up to going in. I'll just wreck it for everybody." He's really playing that victim card hard. "You can get home with the girls, right?"
He's just like a sad sack.
He says, "You okay?" It's like,
no.
Shut the hell up. Of course she's not. You took her on a terrifying ride and now you're
His
ditching her here because
bruised.
You're. Yeah.
But that's literally why.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Carrie is sad.
Mm-hmm. Sad about
rightfully
it.
Rightfully so. Because this is like a dick move.
I would be so upset.
But
I would be so fucking upset if I was Carrie, honestly. Should show up? I would cry.
I would cry.
Yeah.
I like...
there were times where like plans would change, where not even drastically, or like, and I was still going to see the person.
This is a huge part of
but
why
I would cry, because I was like, so yeah.
I was like, you were just like, it is an unfathomable to me that you like can't think about my, that there is another person in this relationship. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That like, mm-hmm. I'm glad, I'm sorry that you're feeling a way, mm-hmm. but like.
I also have feelings.
I want Hello. To be there for you, and I'm trying to be there for you. And instead of doing that, you're making me feel bad.
You're making me feel, you want me to feel as bad as you do, instead mm-hmm. of just like letting me help you through the bad feeling.
Yeah. Ugh. Or like you continue to like derive happiness from things that aren't involve me at all and make me and isolate me.
Mm-hmm.
Ha ha.
Delightful.
But who should show up? But my favorite Stanford.
And he
Comes up and goes, hello, gorgeous. And she goes, that's the worst Barbra Streisand I've ever heard.
And speaking of the worst, I have like the worst seat in the house.
And Sarah Jessica Parker.
Uh-huh. Our girl.
And Carrie is like, not anymore. You're sitting with me.
That makes me think of, I was watching, because this is who I am, Office bloopers on YouTube the other day.
I watched The Good Place bloopers to calm me down before an audition.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. There are a bunch of them that are really funny, where it's just like 4 second clips of one of the characters being like, just basically saying the actor's real name to each other, like in the line.
Uh-huh.
So he would go up to Erin, and what is her name in real life? Yes.
Uh-huh. Kimmy Schmidt.
Yes, exactly.
Ellie,
thank you. There's a really good one where Oscar walks up, like concerned Oscar face on, and answers something. He's like, Ellie, could you fax this for me? And like 4 of the other actors turn around and everyone's like, Ellie? it's really charming to see stuff like that. Anyway, that's us.
Actors.
That's us behind the scenes calling Carrie, Sarah, Jessica Parker. It's exactly the same.
And so Charlotte's surrounded by couples.
Alone. I don't know why they're seated like this, but Carrie shows up and her absurd purse. And she brings the designer.
Tony. Because Miranda can't come.
Not
so
designer.
He sets
the guy from the store. Yeah, Tony.
He sets them up.
And
she sets them up.
She sets them up.
So and Miranda's basically wearing Charlotte. The same outfit that she was wearing the first time she saw the show, but in reversed colors.
Yes. Samantha. I think you might have said Miranda. Not positive. Either way, we mean
sideways.
Samantha. Okay. Winks were exchanged.
All right, so we watched the beginning of this play. Oh, and then Jared comes out and he takes his pants off.
He unhooks one overall. He unhooks
and the set for
the
this
other.
Looks like The Lion King.
It really does, but the lowest possible budget version.
And everybody's mouth drops, including Tony's.
Including
Samantha, just like
Charlotte. Samantha's just in her seat like, yes.
And the line
I brought you all here to see that. Oh my God. So his line, please do it.
The rain came down hard and then soft. It hit the grass.
Unbelievable. He's acting
green.
Then wet.
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 So wet.
He's acting the shit out of this. It reminded me of you.
It's so stupid.
It really is. And Samantha, you always smelled like rain. Samantha is having like a moment.
She's wet.
She is. A stud is born, says Stanford.
I loved him this Oscar season.
I love too that really we're supposed to believe that what happens in this, sorry, it's too much, is that he comes on stage in boots and overalls, walks to the front, unhooks them, pulls them down with his boots still on and the overalls
around
his ankle, does the monologue.
End of play.
And then comes back out fully naked for the bows. No one puts anything on him.
Full frontal, and he can act. Stanford is thrilled.
And Samantha says, who knew? Because she really didn't.
They're like, where's Berger? And she's like, oh, he's left.
He's coming down with a cold. See you later. Okay, good night.
So Carrie's going to leave now?
Samantha is wearing the craziest belt thing of all time. I don't understand how she sits down with that. It's like Captain America's shield on her stomach.
Maybe we were all acting all the time, and tonight I was playing the part of the woman in a great relationship.
Whose boyfriend was coming down with a cold.
Because he wasn't coming down with a cold. He was coming down with a...
with a bruised
soft
ego.
Soft ego.
Ooh, a flaccid ego,
a
if you will.
A soft-boiled ego.
Mm.
And that's the episode.
Delicious.
Bridget.
Yes, Brooke.
Who did you resonate with?
You know what? What a question. I resonated with Miranda hardcore.
Same.
Heartbreaking. I resonated with Carrie a lot in this one.
Yeah.
In
my
ways,
girl.
Yeah. In ways big and small, but just oh man, just human beings and other people are real complicated. And then when you love them, it's even more complicated, just in huge ways. Yeah, that's it. I love this plot line for Samantha so much, even just down to her having to love Smith Jared in this tiny budget play. It's just a fun arc to see her go on.
Yeah.
What about you?
I resonated with Miranda and Carrie. And I had a moment where I resonated with Samantha. And I forgot what it was.
But it was there. See? We have moments with Samantha.
Or was it Charlotte?
I wondered, was it Samantha or was it Charlotte?
I don't know.
What about ploppability?
I think it's pretty ploppable.
I think so, too. I think
men are still sort of immature babies.
Mm-hmm. I do think you're right that there's probably more or less general intimidation of powerful women.
I don't know. I think not when it's like actor, writer. Like, yeah, I think when you're in the same field, it's easier for this to still happen.
Definitely.
I just like don't like how I just don't like that he didn't tell her.
Yes.
Just tell her.
It doesn't make sense. I mean, it does and it happens. It's just kind of like, damn. And I'm just curious how the plotting out of the, you know, this season went.
Yeah, that's interesting. Darren Star, can you just let us know, please?
Can you just answer the questions?
I
also think that Carrie and Berger would just fucking know way more about each other and each other's lives if there were social media.
I just feel like everyone on the show moves, except for Miranda, just like moves so quickly in relationships. Maybe not Samantha, obviously, but I'm just like, that is just so against who I am. I mean, maybe it's not, I guess, but I just feel like I'm so not.
Well, it also seems like it leads to stuff like this. You know?
I feel like when you move quickly in a relationship like this, and it's bound to blow up in your face.
And I think that's why people.
But I do know a couple people who like have had successful relationships and like have moved quickly.
I do too. And like, there's no question.
Like, of course, there are exceptions to that rule.
But I think this is why people are always, you know, like, you know, when people say they've only been dating for what, like 6 months, you know, that people will act like real surprised if you make major life changes together, because typically you really don't actually know someone, especially not after 6 months, and especially when you have the like endorphins of new love happening at the same time. And to know someone, you gotta like go through the seasons with them, and you gotta go through some hard shit and some really wonderful shit, because otherwise, like, you don't know another human being until you actually know him. This is like a Berger showing her who he is, you
and
know
he's not great,
and she's gotta believe that.
That's the episode.
That's it. Do you have a delta up, delta down?
Do I ever? My delta up is that I don't really have a delta up. And that's not fair. I've had a lot of really amazing experience. Like, I've been like I've been very social and I love my friends.
Yeah. The concert.
There was another thing that I forget. And then my delta down is I'm just grumpy. And I am starting to panic about things. And it's like I'm just like turning in on myself because I haven't had time to sort of like be alone with myself. And so like when I am alone, it's like only negative things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I'm feeling X, Y, and Z about myself and about these things and about this thing, and I'm like,
it's kind of a double whammy.
I'm trying to be like really present, and not like, it's just like I'm either like, okay, well, I don't know.
Yep.
What about you?
My delta up, my delta up is was playing games on Sunday, because that was lovely.
Oh, yeah.
And I love you, and I love Celie, and I love Kyle. And my other delta up? It was nice to, my mom was here this weekend staying up in Poughkeepsie, and it was really nice to go up there. It's always a treat to see them, and it was good to see my mom. And I'll be back for Christmas, which I'm excited about, but it's just like a little paradise house of sweet young things and my sister and my brother-in-law. My Delta down is, I just had one, a distinct one, and I don't remember what it was, but, oh, I just had a really weird day yesterday in, like, a lot of different directions. It was, like, very intense and very, it was just, I was so emotionally on edge, and it was one of those days where for most of the day, I just had, like, tears sitting right here, like, at my sternum, you know? Yeah. And then some shit went down in a couple of different directions, and then I was just, like, a leaky faucet by the end of the night.
Leaky cauldron.
Exactly. But then I was sitting on the train, and I was, like, kind of spiraling into that, like, everything is bad, and, you know, why do I always feel like a bad person when bad things happen? And I was trying to, like, analyze it more, and I was also like, you're gonna go home and take a shower, and you're gonna wake up tomorrow, and this isn't permanent. It was a weird day, you know. But so that felt good too, to not indulge it quite so much. And then I also came home and had an hour of therapy where I talked at Ari and told him everything, and he was the best boy in the world. So
I'm seeing him tomorrow.
He texted me and said, have Brooke knock on my door before she leaves.
Oh, that was him?
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
I've literally, every single time we've recorded here, I've, like, seen Ari, like, in the hall.
Yes. It's pretty incredible. And it's also been at different times. Yeah. So it's pretty crazy that it's worked out.
Can I find you on social media?
No.
Oh.
You can't, our dear listeners. They can. I love you. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
No.
I'm just seeing the real you.
I've shown you who I am, Brooke. Believe me.
That was a throwback to the conversation we were having earlier.
I don't know if you listened, but if you did, you might have noticed.
No, they skip right to where they can find us on social media.
Brought it around.
Bring it around. Town.
So you can find me on social media. Of course you can. On Twitter, Mrs. Burr Macklin, and on Instagram at BridgetM37. Posting more photos Brooke took of me that are great. Brooke?
You can find me at Twitter at Brooke_Wiseman, and you can find me on Instagram, drunk drafting, at Brooke Wiseman.
I hope you all enjoyed that.
No underscore. And if you put an underscore, I'll bruise your ego.
She'll bruise your ego. And there is nothing worse than that, my guys.
Ego my ego.
Brooke. Gorgeous.
And collectively, we are at Splat Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
At gmail.com.
Rate, review, subscribe.
Please do that. Please.
Let us know what your thoughts. Let us know if we should do Veronica Mars.
Yeah, if you have feelings about Veronica Mars, because nothing has invigorated. This is like in my new top three.
Wow.
I think.
Well, you heard it here first.
Veronica Mars, the show that came out in 2004. You heard it here first, folks. We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.